Today on Real Radio.
If God knows everything, and you claim he does, Pastor, and you Christians, that your God knows all and he cannot learn anything, didn't he know that Adam and Eve were going to sin in the beginning anyway? Why did he go through with it? That's a great question.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a series of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a series called You Need to Know, all about being born again. Our main text today is chapter 3 of John. It seems that John the Apostle had a unique insight into what it means to be born again, or born from above, as he indicates in his other writings. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more of You Need to Know, all about being born again.
Wherever you feel most at home, it's because it's most like you. None of us want to be places where we don't feel at home in that place. So the man or the woman who's born again is more at home in this world with their heart in heaven, though they're living in this world. There's an overwhelming sense for you and I who are born again that though we live here, we're not home. You feel like a stranger here, do you not? Now, if you feel very, very much at home in this world, and you love it, you're very comfortable here, I want you to think about that for a moment. Wherever you feel at home, that's home. And I say that because I'm happy to announce as a Christian, I may live in this world, but I'm not home yet. I don't belong here. And you know, maybe a lot of our critics would say, you're right, you don't belong here. I would agree with them with that. C.S. Lewis, after he came to Christ, the great philosopher, science lover and debater, author, C.S. Lewis, he made the comment that after coming to Christ, he realized that he was living in this world, that he was living in enemy-occupied territory. He wasn't home. The enemy had taken this world, and this world was no longer his. Noah Webster, in his dictionary, defines sin this way. It's that which encompasses not only an action, but the neglect of a known duty owed to God. He says, Webster goes on, all evil thoughts, purposes, words, desires, intentions that are contrary to God's command or law is sin. And he's exactly right about that. Very important. So the first thing we see, church, is this. Why do you and I have to be born again? Because none of us like to be told what to do. And here's Jesus saying, you must be born again to Nicodemus. Well, the first thing is, because you and I, without Christ, are separated from God. Listen, if somebody says to you, if you share the Lord with somebody and they say, what do I need to be born again? The number one answer is because we're separated from God. This is my opinion. It's what the Bible says. We're separated from God. And it doesn't take a spiritual Einstein to figure out that when you look around the world, and even if I look at myself, when we're not Christians, we are certainly suffering from what I call separation anxiety. If there was ever such a thing as separation anxiety, it's that mankind is separated from God. That's why we need to be born again. You say, well, how do I know this? Listen, we're separated from God. First of all, we're brought into this world. As King David said, we were conceived in sin. That doesn't mean David's mother was sinning. It means that even if she had the most wonderful relationship, that when David was conceived, it's an amazing statement, and I've shared this with you before. Not only was David conceived in his mother's body, and then he developed for 9 months in his mother's body, but David is announcing that as a child, even as an infant, all of humanity not only has DNA, it has a spiritual DNA within us, and that is that we are all S-I-N positive. And as we grow up, you never teach your child how to sin. We automatically know how to do this. We automatically know how to lie. Isn't that amazing? Not one of you parents have said, now, Junior, this is how you tell a doozy. None of us would ever do such a thing. You know that's wrong. That's, by the way, another indicator of your origin in God, even though we're separated from God, is that you know right from wrong. And a child knows what's wrong. A child will steal something they want. Is that Johnny's truck in your diaper? Did you put his truck in your diaper? First of all, they'll say, no, no. Well, what's that truck doing in your diaper? Don't know how it got there. Where does that come from? Oh, listen, a lot of people don't want to hear this today because you can get books on this, that sin is actually part of our evolutionary process, that when we continue to advance, I'm serious, I'm quoting you, I'm paraphrasing right now. If evolution continues on, as evolutionists hope, we will someday be done with this issue of sin because we will evolve beyond the sin issue. This is a momentary, transitory psychosis of man. Did you know that? Sin. I'm serious. That's what people say. There's a very, very educated group of people that say, we don't worry about sin because in the evolutionary process, there's going to come a time when there'll be no more sin. We just need to get over it. We need to advance beyond it. That's both sad and very funny. It's sad because it's not true, and it's going to be funny to watch them deal. By the way, people who write such things, I'm convinced, have never had children. Or they've never been married either. Right? They've only had a little life unto themselves, like them and Paul Simon. I am a rock, and I'm an island, and an island feels no pain. Right? No, it's not true. Not true. We're separated from God, says the Bible. And the world is headlong racing towards its own self-demise, if you think about it. Why? Because we're separated from God. That's why man does the things that he does to other men, to mankind, separated from God. We who are created in the image of God, says the Bible, act like demons. It's very tragic. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, this is why we need to be born again. Then to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Ooh, that's a... Anyway. And have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. By the way, I don't think God is saying, Adam, dope, you blew it. Cursed is the ground. I don't think so. I think God is sick, hurting over this. The very perfect, blessed world that God made, God says to Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden. Do you hear God's voice crackling in that? Think for a moment. Did not God create the universe and all that there is? But I'm talking about specifically, zoom in with your microscope, the Garden of Eden. And he placed man in it because it was awesome. God loved it. And man blows it. And God says, you know what? Go to your room. Adam, you got to get out of here. You messed it up. You say, well, I have a problem with that. I anticipated you having a question about this. It's in my closing arguments this morning. That's why we have to be born again. It starts with our original mom and dad. They were separated from God. We've been separated from God from ever since. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. This is going to come to a shock to some people. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Listen to what God says. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. God loves you, but there's a big wedge of sin between you and God. And you might have that question. You might say, Jack, I have a fundamental issue this morning about God. If he knows everything, then wasn't this a grandiose setup by God? If God knows everything, and you claim he does, Pastor, and you Christians, that your God knows all and he cannot learn anything, didn't he know that Adam and Eve were going to sin in the beginning anyway? Why did he go through with it? That's a great question. Number one, mark it down. If you ask the question in your mind, or if you know somebody's going to ask you, you need to write this down. Number one, like it or not, God, who does know all things in advance, and he did know that Adam and Eve would sin in advance. Why did he do it? Number one, true relationship. True relationship. What does that mean? Personal relationship between God and mankind. Number one, church, keep in mind, you are not a whale, as beautiful as they are, and you're not a monkey, as cute as they are, and you're not a dolphin, and you're not a bird. That's the animal kingdom, and God thinks it's awesome, but you are not just a little bit step up above animal creation. The Bible says you were created as a human being in the image of God. There's no other part of creation that has been given the status that you have. That's why human life is to be valued at all costs. So watch this. God said he created you to have a relationship with him. He didn't say he created us so that nothing would ever go wrong. Isn't that interesting? Listen, every human being has been given by God an ability. Call it, I'd like to call it a divine implant of choice. And listen, you don't even need to respond back to me. I know you appreciate that. Number one thing, if God knew everything, then why did Adam and Eve blow it in the first place? Why didn't he make a couple of people who wouldn't blow it? Because God values personal relationship. In fact, I'd like to counter and ask you this. Isn't it amazing how loving God is? Knowing that we human creeps would turn our back on him, he made us anyway. Think of that. Listen, over the course of years, has your child caused you grief? Has your child hurt your feelings? Has your child crushed your emotions? You know what's weird about being a parent? No matter how rotten our kids have been, you still love them. They're still your kids. Do you wish their demise, or do you wish that they would get right with you and right with God? He wants his kids back. He wants his children home. And that's why you need to be born again. The second thing is this. God, number one, not only wants a personal relationship with us, but secondly, God is not robotic or mechanized regarding personal responsibility. What do you mean by that, Pastor? It means we know that angels are not even mechanized. They're not robotic. Angels are not. You know, angels can exercise the choice to worship God or not. Read the book of Revelation. Isaiah and Ezekiel says so. But check this out, you guys. See, when you say, well, if God knew it was all going to go bad, then I think God is flawed because he made a man who went bad. He made a man who was perfect, but he had free moral choice just like you do. You see, the responsibility is, what are you going to do with your choice? And you might say, I don't like that because I just want to press a default button and everybody goes to heaven. Then God wouldn't be holy. See, you can't get out of this bag. God is not mechanized, nor did he make us mechanized or robotic. Just like you did not give flowers yesterday to, let's keep it Valentine, to the Red Box. You know the Red Box machine that spits out your DVDs? Did you go over to that machine and say, you've been so good to me all year? Every time I put in a dollar, you spit out a DVD. You're fantastic. Here's some flowers, and you kiss the box. You laugh because that's insane. Nobody thanks a robot. And a robot cannot relate to you. Think of it. God made you a person. And the Bible says, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be born again to come back home. You wake up in a predicament. We're lost without Christ. And God says, that's okay, listen, my son's going to go to the cross. He's going to pay sin's debt at the cross with his life, and he's going to open up the door of opportunity for you. Listen to John 3:17. We read it a moment ago. John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Listen, everybody. Skeptic, listen. You need to memorize this verse for a while. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's good news. But that the world through him might be saved. Someone say amen. That's awesome. Next time people want to blame our God for not being loving, give them John 3:17. Look at verse 18, though. Demands personal responsibility. He who believes in him is not condemned. At that semicolon, stop right there. Anybody thinking would conclude, then I'm going to believe in him. Isn't it funny? Well, Jesus knows us. He goes on, but he who does not believe is condemned already. This is a terrifying word because it means that you are living, breathing, existing in a state of condemnation. You know when somebody says, don't judge me, man, you're condemning me. Are you kidding me? You're already condemned. It's true. Jesus says we're all condemned without being born again. You say, I don't feel condemned. Oh, that's not over yet. It's not over till the fat angel sings. And then it's over. We're living in a state of condemnation. Why should I become a Christian? Because you're condemned. Why should I be born again? Because you're condemned. On June 20th, 1977, I woke up that morning condemned. I went to bed that night born again. Not based on my emotions, not based on my wishful thinking, not based on my thoughts, based on the Word of God. Somebody would ask, why does sin separate us from God? Because God's nature is pure, perfect, and sinless. And he says, I cannot have sin in my presence. Why can't God just look the other way regarding our sins? Because God's nature is just, good, and holy. He's perfect. He can't do that. By the way, read the fine print. The Bible says that God loves everybody, but he's angry with the wicked every day. Isn't that amazing? Someone will say, isn't that a contradiction when the Bible says that God loves me, but there are people dying without Christ? Not at all. It's not a contradiction. It might be a contradiction if he didn't provide a way of escape. Now, you guys are very quiet today. Are you guys okay? Are you listening? You know, some of you are so sweet. You say, Pastor, you ask that all the time. We're just listening so closely to you. Please. I know it's early. And I know you're thinking about the beach right now, probably. When's he going to end? Soon. The wake-up shock this morning, though, is that, listen, unless you're born again, you're under the condemnation of God and you're separated from God. So, listen, don't say anything. But my question is, are you born again? Have you been given that new life? And do you know that? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, and I quote now from the New Living Translation for clarity. 2 Timothy 2:3, it says, but God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. What's he talking about? In 2 Peter 2, Peter's talking about those who refuse to know God. Look at that verse. But God condemned them. Listen, for effect, please, for effect, God condemned them. Why? Well, he did that long ago. Why? And their destructions will not be delayed. Why? Because they refused to believe in him. And you would say, that's that mean God of yours. Listen, if you removed his salvation from the table, because of Adam and Eve, and our conduct confirms it true, we are still condemned with or without this verse. See, you and I are still condemned outside of Christ, even if Jesus wouldn't have come. Do you get that? But Jesus did come. Why? So that we can read verses like this and say, I don't want to be condemned. And the tragedy is that they have determined for themselves a destruction that is not delayed. This is a terrifying word because we live, listen, without being outside of being a Christian, it means that the person living today, and let's say it's you, you're not a Christian, you could care less about following Jesus. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. No man says this, God says this. You are living in a state of condemnation. The axe, as it were, is just inches from your neck and you can't see it. And you live every day like that. You say, why doesn't something happen? Because God's patient. He's wanting you to come to eternal life. But the Bible also says there's a day appointed, every one of us. Our days are numbered. Did you know the Bible says our days are numbered by the Lord? You don't know the number, I don't know the number. You know you're not going to die one day too early and one day too late. Did you know that? What if I jump off the roof? Okay, first of all, not a smart thing to do. But let's say you do it. And don't do it on our property. Go do it on your own property. If you jump off the roof, if it's not your day, you're going to be in a whole lot of hurt. You're going to be hurting big time. You're going to be crippled and you're going to lay in the hospital for what might be the next 17 years. You're not going to die until the day God has determined for you to die. How'd that guy survive that thing? You see those accidents, it's like, oh no! You know, the car is turned into a pretzel, and the guy walks out. Whoa! Knuckleheads go, what a lucky dude! No, the angels go, yeah, we knew. Well, you know, apparently it wasn't his day. And then somebody slips off a curb, somebody slips on a banana, and falls down and breaks their neck and dies. How'd that happen? Man, you know what's weird? You guys, I don't know if I'm talking to any women in here, but I'm still mesmerized at Dale Earnhardt's death. In his, some of you are going, yep. It's like, are you kidding me? You've seen guys on NASCAR and Formula One go through the most horrific accidents and walk away. Dale Earnhardt, not only does he hit the wall, and it's like not even the announcers thought it was a big deal. And the people get up to his car and the man's dead. How'd that happen? Time's up. Time's up. Each of us have a time. God is not willing that any should perish. Condemnation's coming to those who are outside of Christ. But don't be caught outside of Christ. And here's the good news. I got to give you some good news, right? That's why it's quiet in here. See, waiting for the good news. Here's the good news. John 12:27. Jesus says, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Remember, he's just ready to go to the cross. Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus is going to go to the cross and he knows what's coming. And he says, man, my heart's heavy. And listen to how he answers himself. What am I supposed to do? Ask my Father to deliver me from this moment? No, it's for this moment I've come.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's actually a series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the essentials of our faith. It's a series called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Being Born Again on the next edition of Real Radio. By the way, this series of messages is available for you on a set of DVDs. It goes by the same title, You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's such an important topic because it's all about whether or not a person understands the gospel, understands the sin problem, the need for divine redemption, and so on. And, of course, one's need to receive salvation. Now, here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. It's that easy. I'll say it again. We'll send you this series, You Need to Know All About Being Born Again by Pastor Jack, in a multi-DVD set for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. You Need to Know All About Being Born Again, or simply All About Being Born Again. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you'd like to order by phone, that's easy, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer to write to us and ask for the DVD set by name, All About Being Born Again, just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found very easily at the web, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.